Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory and I'm your host this week. I'm joined today by my friend James.
Hello.
And my friend Paul.
Hello.
Paul, it's been bloody ages.
It has, hasn't it? It's great to be back.
You've barely been on this year.
Yeah. A lot of people in my life have been saying I've been off this year.
It's a year to forget. welcome back. We're in our second series now. So
that is great. Congratulations.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, how did you define the series then? Was it just summer? Summer break?
Well, you know, it's a very political podcast. So when Parliament breaks, we like to break. Mm. Spring break, summer break.
I definitely broke myself this summer.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while as well, James. I mean, you're not that tan, but I assume you've been away.
Yeah, no, I actually tan okay, but I didn't really get an opportunity. I went to Italy, but I was driving around the whole time. Well, I wasn't. I was in a car. But
okay, so one arm is probably quite tanned.
Yeah, cruising out the window.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to have you both back on for your Series 2 debuts. Again, it means very little. Little has changed.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
So, you'll remember, we'll start the show, as we always do, with a feature called The Facts.
Facts.
The Facts. So, we're going to cover a story that wasn't necessarily the biggest news story of the week. Probably the biggest news story of the week being this sort of semi-failed terrorist attack. It's fair to call it semi-failed.
Yeah, I mean, no one was critically injured, but I think there was like 30-odd people who did sustain injuries in the carriage, but
okay.
Thankfully no one died.
Well, I was watching the news, and this guy had been there, he was like, the most significant injury I saw was this guy was wearing a puffer jacket, and the whole puffer jacket melted. I'm like... Okay, like, yeah, earlier in the year we've set the standards for terrorist attacks, this melted puffer jacket.
Sure. I mean, I don't think we want to be particularly setting standards as if
Olympic
medals, as if he's got his season
good
best.
Good point. The way I phrase that is kind of like, come on, ISIS, what else have you got?
Beat that PB, ISIS.
I'm not asking for that.
This is why we don't cover topics like this.
Yeah, I've immediately put my foot in it.
No, I think, though, yeah, it would be classed as... A semi-failed one. I'm sure it felt incredibly real for everyone who was in that tube carriage. And although no one was critically injured, I'm sure the psychological effects of it, of something like that happening around you, are probably going to be long-lasting. But also, fuck you, you two-bob terrorist cunt.
Yeah, with your bucket.
With your bucket and your little bag.
Your little bag.
Can we also loop back to the fact that people still wear puffer jackets?
Yes. Have they not seen any of the adverts about the problems... with bonfire nights and shell suits.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's summer still. It's reasonably mild.
They're not fashionable. We'll put it out there.
Absolutely not.
Now we know that they're a walking death trap.
Yeah, I mean, they're weird coats. When you think about it, they're weird coats. And if you're taking anything away from this slightly odd introduction, it is that puffer jackets are weird coats.
If you were listening to this and wearing a puffer jacket, please...
Take it off.
Yeah, take it off.
Consider. Also, get a radiator in your flat. Why is it so cold?
Stuffing newspaper into the puffer jacket.
It's a balmy autumn.
Winter is coming. You're going to need something more sustainable.
As my mum always say, you won't feel the benefit if you have it on now. Save it for December. Put it on, then you feel the benefit,
exactly.
Listeners.
So we're not going to cover terrorism, thank God, because clearly we've shown sort of the level of insights I have onto the topic. We're going to look at Hillary Clinton's new book. She's had books before, but this week was the launch of the presidential candidate's sort of book called What Happened, which is about what happened last year. You know, do you remember with the...
Prince
dying.
Can
you remind me?
Yeah, Prince dying.
That was a big one.
And then, do we have an Olympic? There was the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I thought we had a World Cup as well.
I think there was a World Cup.
Yes.
And then Bake Off moved to...
That was arguably the most significant.
And then Donald Trump became the president.
That was it.
Yeah, and that was kind of that raised a lot of eyebrows. And
I think still is. I don't think anyone's really fully settled into the idea that man is running a country.
My eyebrows have not come down since. They just went up there. And I've just been like looking up.
I thought you just had a botched facelift. I was going to mention it after the recording. So have you guys up to speed on this story?
as much as we ever are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the gist? What is What Happened about?
Well, I think it's quite an interesting title because you can probably read it a few ways.
Question mark.
Yeah. What happened? Mm. Like, is she asking us? Is she telling us what happened?
Mm.
I'm still not sure, you know. I think she's obviously had a year to process it now, but it's essentially kind of from her perspective what the key factors were in his election win, and I think kind of what she regrets and what she did wrong.
Okay.
She spent a considerable amount of time. Didn't she move out into the woods? Is this now her just like coming out being
I don't think she went jaded, like
what happened? Where was I?
Don't remember that.
When you say she moved to the woods, I think there was like pictures of her on hikes. I don't think she necessarily, you know, built a log cabin
and
lived off the...
As someone who is very nomadic, wherever I am currently is where I live. So if she was pictured in the woods... But yeah, I do like the idea that she lived in the woods for a year.
Well, I've just got like an image of her now, you know, like just covering her face in mud,
yeah.
Hiding and stalking
a
deer.
Washing in a river.
The rebrand.
No, she's clearly been writing a book, trying to work, get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Or defend herself.
And so people had a lot of opinions on this before it was even released.
I just want to say one thing before we get into it.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit annoyed she's done it, because I think actually, in the aftermath of the election, everyone had a lot more sympathy for her. They went, maybe she's not as cynical as everyone made out. I think the defeat really humanised her, because she'd always had this trouble connecting with people and she'd seemed a bit robotic.
Yeah.
And now I just feel like I'm right back to square one with her. I'm like...
What, you think this is a money spinner?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think she needs the money. I think she's trying to settle scores.
Yeah, I kind of feel... See, I quite like Hillary Clinton, but I do feel a little bit about this book like I do open letters on social media. Yeah. In a way, it's just like, she's clearly like got all these gripes. I'm like, just save it for a little bit. She's just like, oh, clearly wants to defend herself. Just leave it.
Or just let it go completely, like it's happened.
I get it. I mean, it was ridiculous, and I think it will always be ridiculous. Particularly whilst Trump has still got, 3 years left?
And the rest, I think, yeah. We're just over just under 3.5, isn't it?
Oh, God. But she's also, like, she's got the book out pretty quickly. I know she's got an incredible work ethic.
Did she... She knew she was going to lose.
She started on this way about when.
Yeah, she was just making notes as we go. So if I don't win, it'll be because of this and this and because of you and you.
You know when people go to the Oscars or something and they've got, like, their acceptance speeches in one pocket? Do you reckon she had, like, her inauguration speech in one pocket and then in the other a 300-page book explaining why she didn't win?
What
just
went wrong?
In case.
The end. And we're just getting the exit polls. Oh, God. It's envelope two.
Pre-order goes live.
Yeah.
And it was the pre-order on Amazon that sort of caught my attention first about this story, because Amazon sort of, I think, rarely removes reviews.
Getting rid of the one stars.
Yeah, because there were hundreds of one star reviews from.
Was that just in a, like Trump supporters,
Trump
just
loyalists? Going, right. This is a load of horseshit. Haven't read it, but.
Oh, how can you be a Trump loyalist at this stage in the game? Like, jeez.
Also, are you allowed to just review stuff you've never seen or used? Like, that just seems like an outrageous.
I guess so. I guess, like,
hang on.
There's a flaw in the system there.
Yeah, surely you can only do it for a product that you've bought. So whatever happens, they're buying her book, presumably to then burn it and writing a one-star review.
Pre-order it, review it, cancel the pre-order.
Wow, you're giving Trump supporters, who we know are very intelligent people.
I'm giving them a lot more pretty foresight than than they really have. So what's the gist on this book?
So, I mean, I think the kind of the key things she pulls out are... I mean, Russia is talked about quite a lot.
Okay, because we're still holding on.
The whole collusion thing there, I don't think that's ever really been settled. Comey, I think there's a big bugbear there. I think that is one of the kind of things she pulls out as it was pivotal.
Hmm.
I do think there is also, she has kind of acknowledged where she went wrong and where she struggled to connect with people.
Wasn't one of the funny ones I read... was that one of them was down to eating a pork skewer at a campaign event in Iowa.
Oh no.
As one of the things which you pinpointed, in terms of the level of like mistakes that she made, in terms of like how it didn't make her seem, portray her in the right way.
Oh no, the Ed Miliband effect. Never eat pork.
Yes, never eat pork.
In public.
But equally, I feel like if you feel like that's what lost it for you,
yeah,
it was already lost.
I think so.
It was the pork skewer on that Tuesday. What do you mean? She ate it in the wrong way? Or?
I'm not sure. I just kind of saw like an overview of like what she'd been blaming, and Comey came up. And I think Comey is one where, you know, if you had like an ex-girlfriend who was an author who wrote an autobiography, and you'd be like, oh, let's look in the index to see how many times my name is mentioned, just a fantasy thing. I think if Comey did that, it'd be like, oh, wow.
Okay, I play a part in this book.
Right, I should probably just read the whole thing.
So, and she's kind of fair, justified in blaming Comey and all like mentioning him and mentioning the Russians.
I think the difficulty is all of these things are really hard to quantify. As she says, okay, well, that's why I lost it, but it's impossible to predict or know what would have happened if he hadn't done that. You know, she may still have lost it. That's why the whole thing for me is a bit of a vanity exercise.
Yeah, and everything, it's kind of, you can't look at it in a vacuum of what she did without kind of like removing that from the whole Trump campaign and everything. She might have been slow on stuff, but yeah, I just find it's a bit weird to look completely just like inwardly on it.
Yeah, and I think she'll regret doing it so soon as well, because you probably need to see, like, wait a little bit longer to see the lay of the land on what went.
I think it's probably still really, like, it's still very close for her. Like, if that had happened to me, I would still be so bitter right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would be able to write a book with anything approaching like a balanced, reflective.
Also, like this close to the event, you can never be like that objective about it. Where something that's huge in her life and will be the first thing she thinks about every single day when she wakes up, I imagine.
I assume so, because she's been working towards it her whole life.
Yeah.
Where her whole professional life has been, I want to be the first.
And she had lots of really good intentions.
Mm.
The stuff she wanted to do. I kind of like really liked her. She had like that element which wasn't. She struggled to connect, which is something, and I think maybe is something which is applied to female politicians more than men. I think that's probably fair to say.
Yeah.
Because she was just like, she knew her shit and wanted to get it done, but then there was just like certain things where it was like she couldn't get past it.
Mm.
And also just like that fucking shaved orangutan well, like, on the other side.
Like I think one of the things we will, with time, realise is how much he lied. Like, we were saying it all at the time, but then history will tell us, yeah, that was his tactic. It was just like intense, frequent lying, creating this thing. But so where she was trying to present herself as the queen of facts.
Yeah, well, that PolitiFact article that you sent me.
I sent you guys one piece of information.
And I read it and did not read anything else. But in that, when it said that Hillary Clinton, because she claimed it, PolitiFact just like cross checks essentially claims made by politicians to see if they're truthful.
Yeah.
And in that campaign, she claimed in a book that she was the most truthful candidate through PolitiFact. Yeah. And which they said is true. And yeah, they tested 100, they did a spread of kind of thing she'd said. There was 196, was it, Tiff?
Yeah.
And it came back that it was 51%
true or mostly
truthful. Which isn't exactly like a benchmark for being truthful.
That isn't great.
If you had a mate who lied half of the time, you would not hold that person up and be like, if you want the facts, go to gym.
It's also, in terms of contentious like splits in kind of percentages, like 51 is very close to the Brexit.
Yeah, the 52.
In terms of my least favourite
percentages.
But yeah, she just came out like that's fine. Like almost one in two is still a lie.
Is that normal though? I'm just thinking, do I lie 49% of the time now?
Maybe.
Because I mean, I think we all chat a lot of shit in our lives.
I think there's a difference, I guess, between like what I imagine Trump has done is intentionally lie.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure I have just like read something once, absorbed the fact, misremembered it, and then just regurgitated it wrong.
The intent is good.
And also, the things that there is a big difference between the things that we've all said previously on Tinder dates and someone saying at the stand at a campaign rally in like Massachusetts.
I don't know what you mean. I am 6'3".
Yeah, that is true. I've only ever seen you sitting down, Rory, so yeah, I can't be sure on that.
Don't ask me to get up. But
we'll get PolitiFact to check it for us.
One thing I really did enjoy from the PolitiFact article, so they kind of went through some of the specific statements that they fact checked.
Right.
And obviously, like, a lot of them are around, you know, big political issues. And then just one of them that they fact-checked was, research now shows that hot sauce boosts the immune system.
Oh, was this in regards to her saying that she always carried hot sauce with her?
Did she say that?
Yeah, because then people were like saying, oh no, she's just trying to reach out to the black community.
Right.
Because it was like, Beyonce had a song about hot sauce. I think
one of her songs was something, I got hot sauce in my bag.
That's it. So Hillary Clinton says she always carried it. But then I remember, because there was a big furore about it where people were like, oh no, she's just pandering. And then all these campaign aides were like, no, in the 80s we saw Miss Clinton with a bottle of Tabasco. And they're like, oh, verified.
Fact but just checked. Of all the, if that was one that she was lying about, I would be less bothered than if she was lying about.
There are small lies and big lies.
Yeah.
And obviously no lies are good lies.
Mm.
But some lies, I like, by all means, get away with it if you want.
Yeah.
If it's like Clinton, it's not going to come down to like the, but her hot sauce, as people say, like, but her emails kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is also ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think it's also when you stack it up against Trump, who, the way he lies is more like sort of Jay from The Inbetweeners. You know, like just
that
mate
it?
Who like, oh, when did you lose your virginity? When I was 12.
Yeah.
In on holiday with a girl that you can never, ever, ever meet because she lives in Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and
they don't have they don't have the internet there.
So what do you... now, I mean, we've been maybe 9-10 months since the election. Mm. And by that point, we were just exhausted by bad news. Not ready, not in a place for analysis.
Sure.
Now that sort of we've had a bit of time, what do you think it was with the specific?
Are we doing exactly what we?
What she's? What we've just said.
Just berated.
To be fair, we are far more qualified.
Now we're about 9 months, and yeah, very little bit of insight between the three of us.
True, we've just had a go at Hillary, but it's different because she doesn't have her own podcast.
I hate the term mansplaining, but I think we'd be bang to rights on that one. Like, Hillary, someone who was running the campaign, can't be objective about it, but three lads sat in a kitchen in Peckham.
Sometimes you need an outside perspective,
that
Paul.
That is true.
We are the outside perspective on this occasion.
Really, yeah.
We are the 99%.
You've called out the flaw in this section of the facts.
I feel like we're going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
Press on.
Yeah, what happened? What happened, Tiff?
In my... humble opinion.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I don't really think it needs. Sorry, I'm now going to contradict what we've just said.
Right.
I don't think it. I think everyone kind of knows what it was. Like, I think there was a multitude of factors. It was. Do you remember when you were in history in school?
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, you'd write an essay on like what was the cause of the First World War.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
The conclusion would always be, there were many causes,
all of
which were quite important. I feel like it's all the stuff. It's, yeah, Trump gaining a populist base, a lot of disenfranchised working class white voters in America, you know, Hillary not being able to shake the email scandal, Comey, Russia, all of the stuff that was talked about for like 9 months solid.
Mm.
I don't really think you can kind of delve into it and go, it was 20% Russia, it was 30% Comey, because that's just not how statistics work in this case.
Yeah.
In fact, just the only thing I have to add to that is just that really reminds me of writing essays in history when it was like, you use phrases like the touch paper or the catalyst, or the straw that broke the camel's back. Like
the spark plug.
The attempted assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
It always comes
back
to
him. It was not the leading cause.
Yeah, it was the trigger.
It was the touch paper which started.
Also, hopefully this podcast will be used by teenagers in the future when they're writing their essays on the fall of the US.
Yeah.
I would love an idiot teenager to stumble across this and think this is a good source.
If we get referenced the footnotes of any kind of essay or dissertation, then our work here is done. Then
We did say at the beginning, if we get one thing out of this, it'll be to be referenced by a student in a history essay.
And if there are any history students listening to this, please do get in touch and let us know how you've worked it into your essay on the repeal of the corn laws.
Consider me for an honorary doctorate.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm up for wearing one of those little hats. And
I think you look very good in one of those little hats.
Thank you.
Little mortarboard.
Thank you. Professor Rory.
Professor Rory.
Well, thank you both for helping me dance around the facts of the Hillary book.
God forbid.
Available to buy at all good bookshops. We should probably give it a read ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, and God forbid if we ever get fact checked, because I think it'll be a lot less than 51%.
Yeah. Keep it in your pants, split fact.
Task Force! Task Force. So, you'll remember, chaps, that I often, well, on a weekly basis, get a call from someone of note. yeah, and so this week I was contacted by, I think it was a professor from the University of York, I want to say.
Professor Rory. Heard of Professor Rory on the Today programme every day.
Yeah, well, since I've been welcomed with open arms by the higher education community, yeah, the emails have been flooding in. And so there's a professor from the University of York, can't remember his name, who has discovered a load of new words, or old new words. Are you familiar with this story?
Is it like people bringing back, like, using crumbs? Like, oh, crumbs.
It's like... It's
or
weird.
Fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one... I remember, what was it? I can't remember. There was one which they put was an oldie worldy term for lady love, which in itself was great.
Is it worth
to have people still use lady love as a term?
It was really like the male.
It was like Jewbury or something, and it was just like... Which is a Middle English for lady love.
God's sake.
That's really weird.
Showing
on the BBC.
How far we've come.
Yeah, we certainly can't use the term lesbian on the BBC.
Yeah, and lady love is a 50s term for lesbians.
For lesbians. Which is a 90s term.
Also, I've got the list of the old words in front of me. I'm going to if you guys...
Let's have a few.
Do you know what a quacksalver is?
A quacksalver?
I did, because I read it this morning, but I've now forgotten. Which is a really great input from me.
It just sounds like someone saying quicksilver with a heavily Scottish accent.
Yeah. Quicksilver!
What makes a surfboard?
Someone who dishonestly claims knowledge of a skill in medicine, which I don't know.
What quacksalver. Oh, so quack as in old...
Quack for doctor.
For doctor. Which then, in New English, changed to doctor.
This is one that I feel like Boris Johnson must still be using, which is rousy-bousy. Which means boisterously drunk. You can imagine him at the Bullingdon Club, but we're getting rousy-bousy tonight, boys. Bulla-bulla-bulla.
I'm definitely adding that to my lexicon.
This is, I don't know why anyone would invent this next word, because it's really hard to say. Wallonk, like plonk, but with a W at the beginning.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Proud, rich, haughty, splendid, fine, and magnificent.
Or Wallonk.
Wallonk.
That Professor Rory is a real Wallonk kind
of
guy.
He's a Wallonky guy.
He's a Wallonky guy.
I feel like these are all words that Ed Walker used to describe himself.
Which, again, is of no use to the listener.
But if the listener does know Ed Walker, that is of great use.
You will agree.
A friend who's been on the show once, and then I think we
he's been twice, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't think we invited him back.
I think I've overestimated his fan base here.
A final one. Merry-go-sorry.
Merry-go-sorry. Is that like you start drinking and everyone's having a good time and then you take it too far?
Yeah, I like that'd be that. Great for that.
I like that. It's actually a mixture of joy and sorrow.
So I think that works.
Most of my New Year's could be described as merry-go-sorry. 10, 9, fuck you!
I think most of my life could be described as merry-go-sorry. That's what they'll have on the gravestone.
What's Tiff like? Yeah. Real merry-go-sorry guy.
Real merry-go-sorry chap.
Yeah.
All like your memoirs, James Tiff in a life.
Merry-go-sorry.
So I've had this call from this university professor
didn't leave a name,
just said soon we will be colleagues, look forward to seeing you in the tea room, and it's a thing, and basically realisation that we haven't been inventing enough words for things lately, and can we just sort of have a bit of a think of some new words? Quite an ambiguous one this week. Let's see where this goes.
It's broad, it's good.
So, have you both got things, or words that you use for things that no one else in the world would really use? Like, For example, I've got a friend who uses the phrase lepatitis, like it's a real word.
What is lepatitis meant to mean?
So she talks about it like it's actually a thing, and it's slow walkers.
Lepatitis?
They've got lepatitis. So it's not in relation to lepers or leprosy,
right?
Before you assume that. But yeah, so she's like, oh, they've got lepatitis. Or
how has she come up with that word?
Just a word that she's like in her head used for long enough to then say it out loud like it's a real...
Wow.
I quite admire there just how bold that is to just go, no, it's a thing, lepatitis. And everyone just, no one's going to question it and go, well, I guess that is the medical name for slow walkers.
That sticks with what my American friends say, that if you've got an English accent and you say something confidently, then it's probably right.
Yeah.
Where most of my friendship is built on just like bullshitting my way through conversations with them. They're like, well, you said it in a kind of semi-posh English accent.
Oh, it's probably lepatitis.
Yes, I'd imagine lepatitis. Okay, great.
So you guys aren't in the business of making up words already?
No, I did. I had a little think about this.
Yeah.
There's one that I came up with. It's sort of a modern phenomenon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is just me.
Yeah.
And apologies if it is. But when you're on your iPhone, I think this is a real kind of a feature of the smartphone. But
yeah.
You'll be on Facebook, on Instagram. You will just be endlessly scrolling through without any purpose.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're looking for. And it's quite vacuous. And the word I've come up with is sundra.
Sundra.
Social tundra.
Okay, I like
just
it.
So literally going through this barren landscape of stuff that you don't really care about.
And like, sorry, I got caught in a sundra
for
20 minutes.
Exactly, yeah, right. I got lost in the sundra.
Because you can lose entire mornings to that. Some
you're like, where did that time go? What did I achieve? Oh, well, I learned that there's actually a dog in Kuala Lumpur that can hop on two legs.
Yeah.
I've got a couple which are kind of phone related.
Oh, yeah.
The first one is, it's not a made up word, but it's just an expression of what you can do.
Yeah.
Is to blue tick someone.
Ooh.
So to blue tick someone is to acknowledge but blatantly ignore them. So it comes from WhatsApp.
I
you get
like
two
this.
Blue ticks, and so you know that it's been received and read, but you don't get back to them. So you can use it in politics if someone makes an accusation against them, but you acknowledge the accusation, but you don't want to make a comment and you don't want to remark on it. You say, I'm blue ticking that.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, someone's made an allegation that you support fracking. It's like, no, I'm blue ticking that. I don't want to.
I'm not going to comment.
I'm not going to comment to that. Yeah. So another one is.
That's really good.
Thank you. Another one is gentiflect. So gentiflect comes from as in gentle reflection. So gentiflect is like, do you ever want to check your reflection, but if you're really tired or hungover, so you don't want to look in a mirror or use a phone camera because you know you look utterly shit.
Yeah.
So you gentiflect. So you'd look at your locked phone screen to get a general sense of your face, so you know there's no marks on it. Or you might use like the front of an oven or a car window.
Car window would
be. I do.
Because it's a kind reflection, and that can also be used as if you wanted to get feedback. So you don't like, oh, don't read me the riot act, just gentiflect it. They'll just give you like a light overview. So you know what you've done, but they're never going to
How bad
you.
Was last night? I'll gentiflect it.
Yeah, gentiflect it.
You weren't great.
Exactly. You don't want your face in HD or your life. You don't want to go into everything. So you don't want to turn your camera onto selfie and then just look at it and be like, shit at my wrinkles.
Well, accidental selfie mode is the worst.
Oh, absolutely. turn your phone on and want to cry.
My main takeaway from this is that you're very worried about aging.
No, not at all. But sometimes you just really don't want to look at yourself.
I did this yesterday. I was like getting ready to go out and I was like, not quite ready to look in the mirror yet. I'll use a building later.
Mm.
And like at some point I will pass a reflective building and get a gist.
That's exactly what gentiflect is.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just need it, mostly when you're hungover or you had an emotional day.
It's
like you're washing your hands in a bathroom and you don't really want to look at yourself in the mirror. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So you look at the tap.
Yeah, exactly. You look at the tap. And there we go. That's a great one. A chrome kettle. Wonderful for gentiflecting.
Oh, yeah. Well, although that will give you a...
It's like distorted. That's a bit more funhouse mirror.
Yes, that is. So that's kind of beyond gentiflect.
You go, oh, look, my nose is the size of a small balloon.
Yeah. Well, it's...
I'm now even lower.
It's still attached to my face, so in a sense, you've gentiflect.
Gentiflect has absolute legs, I'd say.
I think it can go somewhere.
Yeah, that and blue tick. I'm so impressed.
Blue ticking that. I need to, like, think about that more, about using that. But in... Yeah, or when someone says something slightly racist at the pub. Like, as in like someone you don't know very well, and you're
I'm
just like, I'm not
that,
gonna
but...
laugh at that or call them out because I haven't got time.
But you've acknowledged
to
it.
I'm just gonna be like, okay, you said that.
I'm blue ticking it.
I have blue ticked a lot of cabbies.
Yeah, it's mainly cabbies outside of London.
I've got a few more if you want them.
Yeah, please keep them coming.
So we've got Sandrax. So Sandrax comes from sans, which is without
yeah.
And Drex from shortened Andrex. So right. Sandrax is when you it comes from sitting on the toilet
yeah.
And you finish doing your business. And then you realise to your horror that yourself or your flatmate, usually in my case, apologies Sophie for listening, it was always me, has forgotten to replace the toilet roll, and you realise you're sans Andrex. So Sandrex. It means
yeah.
to be up a creek without a paddle,
yeah.
but it's shorter and better. So...
rolls off the tongue a lot more. Because
yeah, so it's just being in a situation of peril. So you're like, oh, last night I was really sans-drexed. It's quite difficult to say. On reflection. On genteflection.
I think the public would find a way of abbreviating it. I was just... yeah.
Drexed.
It would go to Drex, wouldn't it? Or I was absolutely Drexed.
Drexed.
Or Strandexed would be good, because then it'd be stranded without...
Or sansed?
Sans.
Back to my thing that I came up with.
Yeah.
We have obviously like knock on other verbs and stuff, like what it's called when you're in a public toilet and that happens to you. And... The little pirouette that you do is probably the wrong word between one cubicle to another to
yeah,
see.
Sorry, you're just doing ballet between cubicles.
It's like,
the little waddle.
Is it you just have to do like you just have to take a leap of faith and jump out of the cubicle, hope that no one's out there, and then jump in the next one and hope that it's a better.
There must be a word for that, and that's a real like. That's more high stakes than Deal or No Deal.
Yeah,
in terms of opening things to find out. Something's good in there.
That should be a challenge in sort of that SAS Are You Tough Enough show. Like, can you successfully...
Can you run with your trousers around your ankles to the next cubicle to see if there's... And if not, do you have... you able to pick yourself up and go again?
I like Sandrex. What else you got?
Okay, so we've got pin-armed or tuck-bowed.
Okay.
So tuck-bowed is kind of more satisfying. So it's when you're, and this came from this morning, I was out last night,
yeah.
And when you are on the bus and you look around to establish where the smell is coming from and you realise it's you, so then you have to spend the remainder of the journey either pin-armed or tuck-bowed. So that's when your elbows tucked into your hips to make sure that no more smell can emanate from your armpits.
Yeah.
And you have to keep them crossed. And that also applies to politics. So it's similar to holding an indefensible position in a debate. So Mr. Trump remained resolutely pin-armed or tuck-bowed in face of the mounting facts. If he sticks with this position, he may find himself utterly sans-drexed in Congress.
This is brilliant.
The
this
level
is...
of thought, like the dual meanings, how you could apply them to wider contexts.
I really love words.
I feel like I should just cut out the middleman here and put you in touch with this
yeah.
professor from the University of York. Maybe you get to be Professor Paul.
I've got a very silly one.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Herpes and his cock, which is... So,
ooh, okay.
Herpes and his cock is just a term for quickly establishing who has ordered what at Nando's. As in, oh, they are her macho peas and he has ordered the chicken.
Right. Very misleading.
Oh!
So it's herpes and his cock.
That took me ages.
Yeah. It was very silly.
You saw it.
But I did chuckle on the bus and the lady next to me wondered what was going on. So I had to lock my phone so she didn't see it.
But you had tuck-bow and couldn't show her.
I was tuck-bow.
You were tuck-bow. I think this is one of the first times on Task Force where we've actually come up with a thing that's directly addressed the question. We've got words. So what have we got? What was your one?
Sundra, although I now feel quite embarrassed having seen Paul's.
Not at all.
Sundra's a good one. And you
I really like Sundra.
You can be in a political Sundra too if we're trying to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I needed that.
Yeah. I'm now off all social media, so I don't... I now just Sundra on BBC Sport.
Oh, God.
All time.
Just
and the Guardian.
End up deep into like the snooker section.
Yeah, really just like, oh, let's see what's going on in arm wrestling.
Because yeah, you can end up in like a Sundra on like... Well, back in the day, it used to be like Wikipedia when you were trying to do like a university essay.
Like a wiki hole.
Sorry, yeah. Any students who are using this as a reference shouldn't listen. But yeah, when you're like supposed to be doing your revision and just end up Wikipediaing.
Like Googling like Cleopatra or something.
Yeah, and going down that rabbit hole.
The amount of times I've Googled Cleopatra. Oh, yeah.
If really? I had a penny.
Bit of ancient Egyptian minky. Minky, is that like a 60s word for... I can't remember.
I think
I heard it in a Carry On film.
I feel yes, like it
sounds
straight something. After Lady Love.
Yeah, and if that turns out to be an offensive phrase, I'm very sorry. So hold your emails and complaints.
Well, I'm not gonna sum up how many words we've come up with here, but I feel like it's about five or six, which is good going. So we'll summarise these. We'll be sharing these on all our social medias. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. Yet to get into Twitter, because I feel that's a big commitment for us.
take it slowly.
Who's going to manage that account? Because I'm a volunteering.
Yeah, absolute disaster. Maybe Trump can lend us a hand because he seems to be really on top of his own one. We'll be sharing these with definitions. But yeah, you can follow us on facebook.com/thismightbethenews or Instagram, the same. I don't know, just Google it. But thank you both. This has been a wonderful task force.
Quiz?
The quiz. So, you both like the quiz?
No, actually, I don't.
What, because you think it's like, what number am I thinking
It's of? Entirely arbitrary. It's just what Rory's read, and then what is Rory thinking of.
Yeah, how has Rory interpreted that thing that he read that he didn't dig into?
Yeah.
Fair. Well, let's see how this goes. You're playing my game anyway, and I will declare a winner, whatever happens.
I've already lost by insulting you.
Yeah. -1, -2.
Yeah, I love the quiz, Rory. 1-0.
Thanks, Paul. +1 to you.
Good luck with a brown on your nose.
So, five questions. For each question, you say your first name if you think you know the answer. Question number one, Sam Cam. Do you remember her?
Sam Cam.
Samantha Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
She gave an interview this week where she revealed, despite being married to the Tory leader for some time, she didn't always vote Tory when she was with... Well, ooh. She's still with him, but when he was leader.
James.
What was the party that she voted for?
Lib Dem.
Incorrect.
Paul? That's a bit of the
question. That's the hard bit.
Why did you look at me as if I would be able to validate that?
Tiff.
James just nodding. You are still.
What happened?
You are Paul.
The Green Party.
Correct. Point to Paul.
Yeah.
The Greens. What the fuck? Well,
because, he probably just didn't do the washing up one day. Or just
he definitely wasn't bothered about recycling.
Yeah. If he didn't take the recycling out, she's like, I'll do it, you know. I will vote for the Green Party. Don't push me, David.
Question number two. What food has seen a surge of interest since it was served on Prince George's menu at school this week? Christ.
James, I feel like there was trout or something in there.
I was going to say trout, even though I haven't read it.
It was, mackerel was part of the dish, but it wasn't mackerel. It was what the mackerel was served on a bed of.
Watercress or something?
No. I was think more Waitrose shopper.
Single mattress from Dream?
Kale.
No, it was pui lentils. Am I saying that right?
I don't even know what they are, so.
Pui.
Listeners, if you know how to...
Email in at thismightbethenews@gmail.com.
And please make it a sound file, otherwise it's going to be useless.
Absolutely useless. I should probably just use that. But yeah, it wasn't quinoa, it's pui. Pui is the new...
Wow.
Or just lentils. I just call them lentils for now. So no points there. Question number three. Which acting legend joined Lethal Bizzle for a rendition of Pow this week?
Can we have a clue?
A sort of real sort of acting icon, female.
Paul.
Did you say action? Or?
Acting.
Oh, okay.
I'd love it to be Helen Mirren.
No, but like...
James.
You're in the right league.
Meryl Streep.
British.
Oh.
Judi Dench.
Correct. Judi Dench.
Oh, because he's got the whole thing about Dench, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So that
That's really fun.
Do look it up. She's wearing a Dench hat while she does it. She does the pow. He does the rapping. At one point, she somehow learns the words and starts doing the rap bit as well.
She is just such good value, isn't she?
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Do you reckon she knew entirely what was going on?
She does seem pretty switched on. I think she looked it up so that, I think she'd have done her research to make sure they weren't making a mockery of her. She seemed very much in on it. And
amazing.
And actually quite pally with Lethal B, or Biz, to his friends.
Wow.
Question number four. I don't know if you've been listening over the last couple of weeks, but each week I've been revealing the Metro's latest dating trend. Every week they've been like, stop what you're doing, this is the new dating trend. Last week we had stashing, the week before it was, I can't even remember, it was a load of bollocks. This week it is breezing. What is breezing?
James?
Yeah.
It feels, just from the name, it feels like it would be something around speed dating.
Right.
But this is also the Metro, and normally the answer to this question is wanking, so I don't know if there's a...
It's not, wanking on a speed date, no, okay. But I like the idea there, I like the background.
Breathing, well, it just would suggest that you're getting very little time with any of them. Is it speed dating on a lake?
No, this is where I enjoy this one. You're going to be annoyed.
Oh my god, speed dating with kites. It's a kite date.
You've really jumped onto the speed dating thing here. Which...
Dick Van Dyke leading a speed
Dick Van Dyke hosts a speed date once a month, and that's what breezing is. No, it's just about being like light and breezy when you're dating
god.
Someone. You know, just being really chilled.
Christ. So
you can't say that's a trend. That's just how you act.
Also, I think they give the term journalist out a little bit too easily. Yeah, just like breezy, written by a journalist.
Well, you're really going to enjoy question number five, which is also from the Metro. Oh,
yeah.
Question
it's
number five.
Free for a reason.
What is the three fap?
Sorry?
The three fap.
This is got to be something, James. This is something to do with wanking, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't
always
have two, you can't
always
have two questions
Metro.
From the Metro and not have one being about wanking.
Why are they obsessed with it? Ain't every single article, there is an obscure story that involves masturbation.
Yeah.
Three fap. Don't like all the things that are coming to my mind. None of them I want to say out
say
loud.
Say them, because it's probably one of the bad things.
It just feels like three people wanking at the same time.
At a copy of the Metro.
Yeah.
They've got Meta.
It's an endurance challenge.
The breezy page of the Metro. Or
is it just doing three in a row? Is there like a health benefit from that now, they're saying?
The number three is important, and it is wanking related.
Oh, Jesus. That's not me saying my name.
It's not a Jesus-themed anything.
Three.
It's. Do you want to know?
Yeah, I do want to
also
know.
Also not want to know, but yeah.
It's a three-holed fleshlight with each mimicking a different kind of hole. A mouth.
Oh, no.
A vagina and a bottom. But it's handheld.
Wait, you said one's a mouth as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's disgusting. And this was like the top five most read
on
their
God.
Website.
I actually feel quite dirty just having heard that.
Yeah, I know.
Also, no, I've got points to make on this, but I don't really want
to. We'll
make
them off air.
I don't
the headline, the headline's fantastic. Finally, you can put your penis into the...
Finally.
Everyone's been crying out, guys, stop cancer research. There's something more important.
Subline, pop the champagne and pull your pants down. It's time to celebrate.
Who is drinking, like, just imagine someone pouring a nice glass of, like, Bollinger and some caviar and then having sex with a fleshlight three different ways.
Also, it does make me question, are three people doing it at once?
This is what I wonder. But just
like
in case you're wondering,
it's
invented by Brian Sloan, who was the creator of the blowjob robot Autoblow 2.
Autoblow 2?
Autoblow 1?
The fact that Autoblow 1 never made it to market raises all kinds of questions.
There was
Brian actually doesn't have a penis anymore.
Yeah, there was Autoblow 2 Blow 2 Furious. Then it was Tokyo Blow.
But he actually created a kind of one of these like Kickstarter campaigns to bring his, what the Metro calls his sex toy monster to life back in 2015.
Oh my God.
2 years later, it's fully funded and is officially ready for purchase.
People will literally fund anything, won't they?
It's officially ready for purchase. Did you mention how much it costs?
I just shouldn't have given
that.
Well,
why are you interested, Paul? No, no reason.
Christmas is just around the corner, Tim.
So, a present for all the family.
Yeah.
Absolutely foul, but I felt that was...
Do they review these products?
What, on Amazon?
on the trade.
Same people are doing Hillary's reviews. Just have one, a copy of What Happened, and a sex robot.
Just pre-order it, just review it without trying. Well, that's it. That's the quiz. I think, Paul, you won. You got two questions right there. Sorry, James.
I've got no questions.
Hollow victory, but I'll take it.
Yeah, and I think we all feel like... losers after that final question.
Ruined my day.
Hopefully most of the listeners stop listening sort of after.
I think the real loser is the person who's on the back of this buying that three-headed monster.
Take off the puffer jacket and put down the three fap. Thank you both for joining me on This Might Be The News this week, and thank you as always to our listeners for putting up with it. See you next week. Thank you for listening to This Might Be The News. If you enjoyed this week's episode, then we would love it if you shared it with all your friends. Even better would be reviewing it on iTunes, which will help other people find us. Cheers!